Hi, welcome back. Thanks for listening. Certainly do appreciate it. Thanks to Dr. Rachel Jonteo for sharing the big picture on telemedicine around here, the appointment setting, appointment keeping, without ever having to leave your house. And I presume, I guess it's still a good idea to put on pants when you do stuff like that. We'll venture now into something else that's quite timely, and that's what's happening at the kind of the intersection of healthcare and technology. To sort this out, and I'll enlist the help of Harry Glorikian, author of Moneyball Medicine. Thanks for your time, Harry. You there? Harry,
hello.
Where'd you go? There you are.
Doug.
Oh, so good. Yeah, there we go. Clearly, you didn't write this book in the past couple of weeks. Boy, but what a timely introduction. Tell me what inspired the book first, Moneyball Medicine.
Oh, it was, seeing how the shift into data that the Reinvestment and Recovery Act and then the Affordable Care Act was doing to medicine, and I thought, whoa, we're going to see the same thing that happened to all the other industries that shifted into technology happen to the healthcare industry. So I thought, better start writing this book and looking for good examples.
And what a timely finish you made to that. Were your editors hungry for you to hurry up and finish, or has the final manuscript been sitting there for a little bit?
No, it was, as soon as we got it done and got it off to them, they packaged it up and got it out the door. So,
good boy. Isn't that a good feeling for you, huh, as an author?
Yes. I will tell you, getting something like this out is if anybody has ever run a marathon and you cross the finish line, it's a very similar feeling.
Yes, indeed. I know you wrote it more for healthcare providers than for regular folks like me, but there's clearly a connection the book makes that all of us who are impacted by COVID-19 can understand and appreciate, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, there's something in there for all sorts of people to understand what the shift that's happening in the industry is. Mm-hmm. But data is critical, as we're all seeing right now. The best example I could give is you don't know where the fires are, you don't know where to send the firefighters or the equipment.
That's a great
to
analogy,
put out the fire.
Yeah, and let's talk about that. There's tremendous opportunity for science and healthcare researchers to share information practically in real time all around the world, and that's enabled us to get this thing sequenced and get the research started on fixing it, hasn't it? Much faster than we ever could before.
Yes. No, I mean, people always say, why aren't we moving faster? And my head is spinning at how fast we are moving compared to even a few years ago. But, I mean, when they found this thing, they were done with the sequencing within a couple of days, and
the data
was available to everybody on a global basis.
Yeah. Holy cow. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it would have taken years for scientists to get that same information gathered and shared if this had happened, maybe 20 years ago?
20 years ago. Oh, yeah, definitely. Gosh. Definitely. But I can tell you, during SARS, the company that I was working with just jumped on it and we sequenced it. It still took, two or three months to get it.
Wow.
Whereas this one was done in a couple of days.
That's incredible.
And so it gives you sort of an order of magnitude of how quickly the technology is moving.
Yeah, and the faster you you reach hurdle A, the faster you can jump in and reach to hurdle B, and then consecutive hurdles beyond that. Isn't that right?
Yes, I believe one of the first companies to make a therapy had gotten their first targets in 3 or 4 days of having the sequence information available.
Wow. Holy cow. That's just remarkable. Hopefully, and well, obviously, that's going to save just so many lives around the world. If this had come along, like I said, 20 years ago, there would have certainly been a different outcome. Let's get off COVID-19. That bus for a minute or so and talk more generally about how all this data and artificial intelligence and how did those things in the future of healthcare generally come together?
There's multiple areas where it will impact patients. Some of it is going to be, could be right in their home. In other words, a device you may be wearing or have access to could alert you to, the onset of a disease before you might even recognize.
Wow.
To how we're using this technology to look at either x-rays or MRI images or CT and be able to identify problems that a human being may miss. So we're seeing a lot of areas simultaneously that are being affected by technology and AI.
It's just remarkable. It really is, Harry, to be honest with you. And now's as good a time as any. Let's go ahead and just get this out of the way. All of this data that's being input is only as reliable as the people putting it in. How much can we trust them? How is there a plus or minus margin of error that you as scientists take into consideration for this?
Well, so what we're trying to do is make the input of the data be more, let's say, automated. In other words, if you think about, wearing an Apple Watch and it taking your heartbeat, right? Mm-hmm. There may be an error here or there, but if it's taking your heartbeat all day long, every day, you can sort of weed out anything that might look incorrect because you've got so much of it.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
And what you need to be concerned about is people writing the algorithms that are actually doing the crunching, right? There's always, there could be an error there, but I think that's going to work itself out over time.
Right.
It's still very early days, but it's moving at
boy.
I can't keep up with what is coming out almost on a daily basis. It's happening so quickly.
It'd be a fair statement to say the more we learn, the more we learn. And that kind of brings us back to the difficulty right now. Everybody's trying to figure out with COVID-19 infection rates and death rates when we really have no idea how many cases there are in the world. So ultimately, once, I guess, the infected, the not infected, and the dead have all been counted and recounted, we'll know just how deeply this thing cut. But until then, the really valid numbers are just confirmed cases and confirmed deaths. And from just that information, we're learning a ton about what's going on with this, aren't we?
Yes. And the faster that we get the testing out and the faster that we get the data coming in, and, they're the way that it was set up is there are hospital systems that aren't required to report. And, some of that needs to get changed so we get better numbers. But if we're going to put people back to work, which we can't shut the country down forever,
right.
I think we're really going to have to think about a testing methodology that lets us know, how do we start to put people back, assuming that they got sick, got better, and are not going to get sick again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that comes, again, with the testing. And then I think I heard about a test for antibodies. This is so fascinating to me. Harry, I really appreciate it. Harry Glorikian, author of Moneyball Medicine. This is really good stuff for this world, isn't it?
I think it's going to be revolutionary, and it's going to keep people healthy and happy. And thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, gosh, my pleasure. I can't imagine not wanting to do an interview like this. I may try and drag you back on here sometime. I've still got more questions for you. It's been fascinating.
It would be my pleasure.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Harry. Big data. Harry Glorikian, Moneyball Medicine. Check the book out. I glanced at it a little bit, and I like what I found. All right, coming up next, we'll talk about